Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It sure is good to see each of you out this morning. There's a good crowd here today. I say praise the Lord for that. It's good to see you. And if you're visiting, please make yourself at home. And we're glad that you're here. If you will, we'll just go ahead and start turning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. There's a lot that could be said through these verses, but I'll try to not be too lengthy today. I'm just thankful for the way that the Lord provides. Thankful for the good Sunday school. It's amazing to see how God has worked in many lives throughout all of time, how He's worked on people's lives. And as I was studying and preparing yesterday, it became quite obvious that He's still working on me. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. He's still working on me. Just sometimes, you know, yesterday is a good time. It's been a busy time for us at work and getting everything ready for the students to come back. Matter of fact, some of us are heading over there that way after church if nothing happens, and raising and lowering beds. It's going to be a tiresome week. What they say, it ain't much, but it's honest work. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's raising and lowering bed. It's honest work, I tell you. You just kind of got to lay in there and do it. But, you know, I think it'll be a good ministry and a good help to students and families. We've already met a whole lot of people, so believe it or not, actually kind of looking forward to it. But again, thinking about school starting back up, this kind of came to my mind yesterday as I was driving and praying and trying to prepare. You know, kind of the way it works out, a short trip to Boone is not so much, but sometimes when I'm out doing some work, my photography work, sometimes it might be an hour and a half drive. And, you know, you got a choice. You got a choice. You can turn the radio on and listen to whatever. You can do that. Or you can say, you know what, I need to pray today. And, you know, thank God that's how it worked out yesterday. So, Lord, I just want to talk to you. Just want to pray. And, I told Brandy, I said, I had a good prayer time, and I said, but honestly, it was a whole lot more like a conversation versus being a prayer. It's just different. It was just different. You know, I was praying about things, and sometimes you just have many, many different things maybe going on in your own personal life. You want to be where God wants you to be. And then you see other people that you love and care about in your family, in church, maybe even at work. They're going through things too. And you know, I've heard it said, and it's true, people call the preacher, and I'm thankful for that. It doesn't offend me when somebody calls me. It actually is a blessing that somebody think enough to call you to see if you might be able to help. And I do. I know I've talked a lot about help lately, but that's what's on my heart. That's the mission of what the Lord has laid on my life, or the mission of the gospel. It's to help people, number one, for people to get saved. But number two, a guide for them to live their life by. Life is hard without it, but it's even harder. Or life would be hard with it, but it would be even harder without it. But you know, I just kind of got to praying about things, and always want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Each message, each thing that we do, each task that we take on, where I work, what I do, what my family does, where my son works, his girlfriend works, you know, all those things are important. What you do is important. Each little path that you choose in life is important. And I was just thinking about that with the Lord, and I'm happy, don't get me wrong, but you always want to know that I'm where the Lord wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do. I want that. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's not even necessarily the inside part of us. Sometimes it's the outside. You know, you can feel good on the inside, like, yes, this is great, this is the way it's supposed to be, and then sometimes on the outside you have outside interference, but you know, it's all right to talk to the Lord about that. It's okay to talk to them. You say, I know that, preacher, but do you really take advantage of it? Again, yesterday I had a choice. I could hop in the truck, and beautiful day outside, Brother Nathan. I could just turn the radio on, listen to it, be lighthearted. But you know, sometimes the Lord troubles the waters enough that it causes us to look back toward Him. He wants us to look at Him. He wants us to talk to Him. And so yesterday I had probably about an hour and a half ride or trip, and I was like, Lord, I just want to talk to you. How are things looking? How are things looking? You ever do that with the Lord? Have you ever evaluated yourself? You know what an evaluation is? I'll give you the definition. That's a systematic determination of a subject's merit worth and significance using criteria governed by a set of standards, you know. So that's if you've ever evaluated something or someone, but have you ever really let God evaluate you? You might think this is a crazy introduction, but have you ever let God evaluate you? I asked God for the first time, I believe I remember my life. I said, God, are you happy with me? Have you ever done that? Nobody would really want to do that because we would think maybe that, you know, we're not perfect. We're not what we're supposed to be. Why in the world would you ask God that? But, you know, if you really are trying to have a relationship with somebody, don't you want them to be happy with you? Don't you want them to know that you care about what they think? That you care about what he thinks, that you care about what God thinks in our life? Lord, are you happy with me? What do I need to change? You know, many times, Brother Dale, in the Bible, you look in Psalms, you'll see David. He asked, he said, Lord, search my heart, and if there's any wicked way in there, get it out. I think a lot of times, if we're not careful, we carry heavy loads, and our idea of getting that load to be lessened is, I just won't think about it. I'll think about something else. I'll listen to the radio today. But you know, there comes a time that we really need to evaluate ourselves with the Lord and see where we stand with him. There's just three things this morning. I'll try not to be lengthy. On Wednesday night, I was talking about being guided by the Holy Spirit. And that's a very, very important thing in our lives. We as Christians cannot live our lives the way he designed it if we're not being guided by the Holy Spirit. If we're not being guided by him, we're guiding ourselves. And that's not where we want to be. We deal with logic. We deal with things. Brother Norman mentioned it just perfectly. There's things that God has set in place. You think about the stone that killed Goliath. You think about the whale that swallowed Jonah. God provided all of those things. That's things you and I can't do. It's kind of supernatural. See, he has power over the entire creation. We don't have that. Don't you want to be guided by his knowledge and by the Holy Spirit? It takes evaluation. I'm being honest with you. I'll jump into this and I'll show you what I'm saying here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 6 through 13. We'll start there. And again, he's still working on me. He's still working on you this morning. Verse number 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Talking about earthly knowledge. I tell you, when you talk about the spiritual world, what God is doing for us spiritually, it's a different train of thought. It's a different kind of knowledge. It defies all logic when you're talking about spiritual knowledge. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, unto our benefit. It's to benefit us. But as it is written, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Lord, ever take you to a deep place? When you're ever just communing with him, conversating with him? What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? That's all man knows, is what the unregenerate man, the lost man, that's all he knows. The natural man, that's all he knows, is what is in and of himself. But don't you want to know more? Don't you want to know more about God? And it says here, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see, he's not like us. He knows all things. He's not in a box like we are. He's not contained like we are. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, the things that he wants to have with us, those conversations that he wants to have given to us freely by his Spirit. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'll stop right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this group that's here with us today. Just how wonderful it is to see everyone here, God. And Lord, I know that you want to do a mighty work. And Lord, I just want to go ahead and get out of the way now, God. I just ask that you move and that you do what you would like to here today, God. When we were having our conversation yesterday, God, you just laid everything out. And Lord, I just pray that your will be done here. Make it plain. Make it plain to all of our hearts, God, what you'd have for us to do, how you'd have for us to live. God, if anybody here is lost this morning, God, I pray that today be their day. Lord, I pray that you touch them in a way, Lord, that they've never been touched before, God, to understand and feel the conviction of your Holy Spirit, God, just to now understand. Lord, I know yesterday it started out as a normal day, a regular day for me, another ordinary day, God, but throughout the conversation, Lord, you changed it. And God, I thank you for that. There's so many people, Lord, in our community, in our church, just all around us, in our family, friends that we have, God, just facing a lot of different things, a lot of battles. But it's important, God, that we evaluate our lives, look inward, not look outward. God, that we would be willing to give it to you, surrender it to you, whatever it may be. There won't be a change, God, unless you bring that change. God, I pray that you do a mighty work here today. You know what you want to do. God, I just pray that you get me out of the way and you let your will be done here today, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we see this start here, I just want to give you three different bullet points. Just three simple types of people. I'll keep it very simple. They're all C's. Number one, you're going to see the corpse. Number two, you're going to see the crybaby. And number three, you'll see the conqueror. This is a outline that I've had for years, I guess. I don't remember exactly where or when I preached it before, but the Lord had laid it on my heart, and as I was studying, I found my notes here, and I wanted to come back to this, and it was a really good thing for me to find this. The Lord just laid it all out there. And I'll tell you this, you're not here by mistake this morning. He's got a plan for you. There's something he wants to do in your life, and potentially even today. I just pray that the Lord would have his way. We see here in verse number 14, number one, we're going to see the corpse. We're going to see the natural man. This is the unsaved man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I tell you, there's hope and there's help. I've heard a lot of messages preached before that try to agitate people and just tell you or tell a lost person they're condemned and it don't ever give you the knowledge or how to be saved. I tell you this morning, if you're lost, you can be saved and you can be saved today. There's nothing holding that back. You just need to understand and know, number one, that you're lost. You need to understand that you need a Savior, and you need to understand that there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man can be saved. But I'll tell you, you won't have this or experience this until you get saved. You will not have spiritual discernment until the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart. You won't have that. You're not a whole person. You're a partial person. You're kind of just flying. You're just living by God's grace. That's it, and by His mercy. Whatever could happen, I think back on my life about all the what ifs before I got saved and what life was like, and I know I was younger at the time, but all the what ifs, there's so many things that could happen. But if you're here today, it's because of God's mercy, I can promise you that. Many other places that we could have been, you could have been this morning. But you know, the natural man is totally helpless. The natural man, the lost man, has nothing but the mercies of God. That's it. That's all you have. Every breath, every second, that's all you have is just the mercies of God. And he's reaching out saying, you need me, you need me, you need me. How much of the world has not heard that? I tell you, if you're here this morning, you're hearing this, you need the Lord. You're just a walking shell, if you will. I'm not degrading a person. I'm not putting a person down. I'm just being honest with you. Until the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart, you cannot be guided by it. You're guided by your conscience. You're guided by your logic. You're guided by your will and what you think might be best. But I tell you, when the Lord moves in and he starts doing things, he does things in a completely different way. So how can I know this? How can I understand this? The Lord starts dealing with your heart. I remember He caused a disturbance in my life, in my heart, that said, you need to start looking this way at me. You need to look at me. Stop just looking at yourself or what you think is right. But he troubled my heart so much that I couldn't even sleep. Before I was saved, I was so afraid the Lord was going to return and I couldn't even sleep. And he kept saying, you need, something needs to happen. You know, if you're guided by the Holy Spirit, there's times that that's going to happen in your life. You're going to be troubled. But if you're lost, the only thing that can trouble you, you have to satisfy that first part first. You have to accept him as your Savior first. Now, I wanted to get that part in there, being a corpse. You know, that sounds pretty harsh, but it's the truth. A lost person, they have no hope. A lost person has no guidance. A lost person is just a moving corpse without the Holy Spirit interdwelling on the inside. You can't get past that. I look back and I think about Philip. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch. He needed some help. He couldn't understand what he was reading. He was reading in Isaiah chapter number 53. Acts chapter number 8. And it says here, and Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read this from the prophet Isaiah. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? He said, I need some help. I don't understand what God's word is saying. You know, the natural man cannot comprehend what the Spirit is saying. So why I'm telling you this is you're not being guided by the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit in your heart. I don't want to be there. Brother Nathan, I need his guidance. I don't want to guide myself anymore. I don't want to do that. I've learned so many times what I think is best is absolutely not best. More times than not, when I've prayed and asked God to guide me through something, and I say in my mind, in my heart, this is what I would have done, and he doesn't do it, I would say almost 100% of the time, I say, thank God you didn't do it my way. Thank you for guiding me in a different way, even though it didn't make sense. Things make sense all the time, then we're not using any faith. Thought about this yesterday, again, thinking about evaluations, thinking about being tested. You know, I've taken some courses that I've enjoyed, and I've taken some courses that I hated. And there's times that I've been at a place that I'm like, I'm done with this. I want to tap out. I'm ready to be over it. I don't want to take this class anymore. I'll give it a loose example. Algebra. Why would you mix numbers and letters? That makes no sense to me. Why do you do that? There's no sense in that. There's just no use in that. It makes no sense. And I was like, I'm done. I knew I was done first day of the class. I'm out. I'm done. I don't need this anymore. I'm not going to use this in the real world. But you know what? What I've learned, that teachers do not take my word for when I'm done with their class. See, the teacher knew that I needed to learn more than what I knew I needed to learn, so it wasn't up to me. You see, the reason I say that is it's the teacher who has that authority, has that knowledge of this is what I want you to learn. There's things you can't see and there's things you don't know until I teach you. So therefore, you can't say you're done because you don't know. Now you think about in life when you're dealing with situations and you tell God, God, I've learned this. I don't want to do this anymore. Pass me on to the next level. I'm ready to get through this. But you don't just get to go. You're not the one that gets to decide that. Who's doing the grading, you or the teacher? Who's doing the evaluating, you or the teacher? See, that's the hard part about things. There's some of these classes, some of these courses, some of these things that we take, and as he's teaching us through them, and we ask ourselves, we're dealing through hard situations, why can't this be over? Because the test isn't over yet. There's still more to learn. There's still some things I need to show you. The class is not over with yet. The student does not get to make that decision. The teacher does. And as the Holy Spirit is the one doing the teaching, he's the one that's doing the guiding. He's the one that's doing the showing. It's amazing. You just never think about things before. Sometimes you're just like, I'm done. I want to do something else. The Lord is saying, until we get through this part, you're not going to be ready for the next part. How many of you ever felt like you're going through life in stages? You ever felt like that? I do. I feel like that a whole lot. I feel like there's blocks of instruction. I'll use that. Never saw it really that way so much. It's almost like phases, but I wouldn't really call it a phase, but different times in life, and it's like, okay, things are going well. Is this how you want it to be? Is this how we're going to continue on for X amount of years? And then sometimes it changes. Sometimes it changes out of nowhere. And you got to shift gears. It's not always easy. Then you got to realize and think, am I guiding myself or am I being guided by the Holy Spirit? Am I trying to make a change from myself or have things changed around me? See, the thing that we have to focus on is staying with Him. Even as these things change, as you progress through levels, as you grow with the Lord, things will change. But you see here, it's senseless to Him. I go to this, I hurry on. Acts 17, if you look back there, you don't have to turn there, but Paul was at Athens, and the philosophers were making fun of him. They were known for secular education and what have you, and the philosophers were getting on to him about what he knew about the Lord, and they're making fun of him. So what does this babbler saying? What is he saying? You'll see it again. All in different kind of places. Acts 26, it says the same thing. When Paul would try to preach the gospel to these people who were self-proclaimed educated, they wouldn't listen to him. What's this babbler saying? They made fun of him. It's like that a lot today. But you know, to the natural man, they don't get it. They don't understand it. The first time I went up and made a profession, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I did what everybody else did. Is there a revival? I know I've given my testimony. I'll give it again. People here haven't heard it. Some people. I was sitting in the back and somebody came to me and they said, if you want to be saved, all you got to do is go up there and ask you. Ask the Lord to save you. I'm like, that logically is so simple. But spiritually, I didn't know that I was lost. I didn't understand that. It hadn't hit here yet. I saw people going up and I saw what they were doing. And if it was that simple, who wouldn't do it? But I didn't know I was lost. And the Lord dealt with my heart. He showed me about 4 years later that I was lost. And He said, if you don't accept me, you will not enter into my kingdom. You will die and you will go to hell. It's that plain and it's that simple. I knew then that I needed Him. So that's the beginning of spiritual knowledge. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Do you fear Him this morning? We talked a lot about fear on Wednesday night, that reverence. Do you fear Him? Or do you think it's just a joke? Or do you think it's something that it's just all going to work out in the end somehow? If you don't know Him and the Lord returns, it's not going to end up well. It's the corpse. You think about revival. I thought about this, Brother Raymond. It came to mind. I've heard you say this, and it came to mind as I was studying this. The corpse is dead and must be resurrected, for he cannot be revived. Revival, again, is for the saved people. Revival comes to those that were once alive and no longer alive. If you've never been saved, you've never lived. And that's the truth. Now, you can get saved at revival. But revival is for that inward man, that spiritual man. We look at this here, Romans chapter number 5. These are read this morning, Brother Tim. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men for all. For that all have sinned. We're all sinful people. We all need a Savior. You remember the rich young ruler who said, I've done all these things from birth. That wasn't enough. Sell all your items and come with me. Follow me. He went away sorrowful. Ephesians 2:1, it says, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." He's talking about going from being a corpse to going and being a living being for him, being saved. Are you saved this morning? Number one, these other two are really not going to make a whole lot of sense to you unless you've been saved. You need to be saved. We see the first class or the first group of people, if you will, the first state that a person can find him in. Number two, we see the crybaby. We see the carnal man. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, but it's a very troublesome thing to be saved and remain in a carnal state. You're looking here at Corinthians, you know this to be the carnal church. It was a church, but yet the people inside were carnal. They weren't growing. You know, I can't tell you how important it is to turn everything off and get alone and be by yourself with the Lord and just ask Him, Lord, what's the state of things? Not just this world, not politics, not everything going on around us, but Lord, what's the state of you and me? What is our relationship like? What do I need to do? But you see what happens a lot of time if you're in a carnal state, the crybaby does, the carnal man does, he makes excuses after excuses after excuses why he can't go to church, why he can't live right, why he can't get past this, why he can't do that. Did you know my God is more powerful than that? My God is way more powerful than that. Don't you want the power of Him on your life? If you say, I'm a sorry, low-down sinner, I'm no good, I'm imperfect, and I'm just in a mess, and I just hate how things are, don't you want to see what He can do with your life? You're the ideal person. You take a complete mess and let Him change it around and let Him get the glory for it, what better state could you be in? Praise God, if I want to be the poster child for the Lord like that, okay. Look what He did for me. But you know what the crybaby does? The crybaby says, I can't. Nobody's perfect. I'm not even going to try. Why does God hate me? Why is He so mad at me? Why can't I get what I want? That's what the carnal person says constantly. I can say this, thank God if a person is saved, they're saved, but if they're living in a carnal state, they're not living the way God has intended for them to live. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 1 through 4, it says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. He's coming to them, it's hard words. It's pretty straightforward. He's saying basically, I want to come to you and talk about spiritual things. I want to talk about deeper things, but I can't because you're not ready for it yet. You're not listening yet. I can't speak to you unto spiritual things, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are not ye carnal? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? You see, the divisions that were made here. I'll just say it like this. They had more pride in who their pastor was than who God is. That's what they were following. That's what they were after. They were saying, I go to Paul's church. You know, that's kind of a big church. That's kind of a big deal. You go to church. Paul said, that's cute, but I go to Paul's church. So that means I'm more Christian than you. The only thing that I see going on here is pride. Pride, 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 pride. You know, that's questions that get asked a whole lot of times. Where do you go to church? I go here. Oh, okay, who's the pastor? Okay, how many people go there? You know how that is. What does that matter? How many people are getting saved there? How many people are getting fed there? How many people are getting what they need from God there? That's the questions. Not numbers. It's not the who. Not the who of this world. It's the who of that world that matters. You see, carnally, that's what they look at. Just like we're going through in Sunday school. Everybody looked at Saul because he was taller, he was bigger. Everybody was looking on the outward appearance. What about the inside this morning? What does it look like on the inside? He was saying here, I would love to be able to go and talk deeper things. I'll be honest, there's times I've prepared messages. I told Brandy this. Just going to be completely honest. I told Brandy, I said, I feel like a lot of times I'll study and I'll prepare and I'll come up with 1 + 1 = 2. And I'm thinking, they've already heard all that. They already know all that. My goodness, I can't tell them nothing that they don't already know.
I guess it's the devil jumping on me. So, I mean, why even do that? I'll feel like I've done something maybe, but the church won't get help. The church won't grow. You know how many times, Brother Tony, I've felt that way. Like, I don't have anything to offer. But, you know, it feels like it's got to be up here. Like, it's got to be that algebra class that nobody understands anyway. Like, it's got to be like that. But you know what I find? The reality of it is what people are facing today is right here where the rubber meets the road. Choices that you make every single day. Places that you go. Things that you do. Things that you say. Choices that you make. And that's at the elementary level, if you will. People make bad decisions every single day. And you say, why? 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 Because the crybaby carnal person took control and you wasn't being guided by the Holy Spirit. We all have choices every single day. I have choices just like you do. Do I go in the liquor store? No. Why? Because I don't know. Because I know I don't need nothing in there. Do I go to the backer store? No. Why? Because I don't need nothing in there. There's things, there's predetermined choices that you have to make that you say, I'm not going to do this, so therefore I don't need to be there. So you don't show up, you don't go. And it's like, well, a lot of times it's like, well, I went here, then this happened. Well, if you didn't go where you wasn't supposed to be, that wouldn't have happened. It's little incremental choices. But those choices have consequences. The crybaby carnal person always tries to make excuses. This is what Ephesians says. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, 4:14, it says, that we henceforth, being no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's people out there just like, this is just like stealing candy from a baby, Brother David. Just simple. That's the way it is with the devil. He don't have to come up with new devices. The same old ones that he throws out there works every day. But it's on us to be wiser than that. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to take what he says in his word and transform it into our life and then adopt it and do it. That's why we see a lot of times in the Bible that he is our heavenly father. It's a family. It's a family illustration that's given. He's our father. He's adopted us into his family. So therefore, there's family traits that he expects for us to carry out. That's what he expects for us to do. He shows us those things in his word. And we see that. Galatians 4:3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. As we grow in Christ, we should no longer be children. We should start growing up. We don't need to be 40, 50, 60-year-old babies. We need to start growing up. Stop being carnal. Stop making bad decisions. I know people aren't perfect, but some of these decisions are just minute. When the Lord really started dealing with me about preaching, which I look at it a lot, being surrendered is being surrendered. If it's to preach, if it's to teach, or just being surrendered, I look at it a lot the same. If you're surrendered to Christ, you're making the choice in that moment that I'm going to do what Christ would have me to do versus what I would have normally had myself to do. After you make that decision, you stay in that mind frame. No more the old Jason. We're going to do it God's way. And he'll show us in his word what his way is. And I'll tell you again, if you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit will tell you real quick, you don't need to be doing this. Think before you do this. What does the Bible say? Count the cost. There's a cost. Sin cost. It's a very costly thing. 1 Peter 1:9, it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's a slippery slope. It's defeat. I've heard it said this way. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. Yeah, that's by design. That's how the devil builds things up. That's how he creates it. He frustrates you and you just sit there and spin. And why is it getting so hard? Because you've not really converted your life over. Only able to receive milk. Hebrews 5:14, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason
of use, that's experience, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, sometimes things happen fast, and sometimes you can think things through. You should always slow down and think it through. The devil wants you to feel like you're in a hurry and you're in a rush, and you've got to do something right now in the moment. The sale's ending. If you don't do it in 2 seconds, it's like the end of eBay. Anybody here used to? I don't use it anymore. eBay. You know, at the last minute, that thing you've been working on for a week, and that's when all the people start bidding on it, and you're trying to make sure. That's the way the devil wants you to live. He wants you to stay in that moment. The Lord says, wait on me. Wait. Don't get in a rush. Slow down. Listen. He wants you to be in a rush. If you get in a rush, you start making bad decisions because your mind's all over the place. Anybody here busy? One person is. Me too, getting ready to be busier this week. You know, how many of you have to make decisions on the fly? You know what that means? You know, it's like, it's a good thing to be able to think on your feet, right? Well, as Christians, we're supposed to already be there. You say, really? Yes. I mean, we got the entire rule book here. We got everything in front of us. If we don't know it, whose fault is it? I mean, really think about it. If I didn't study yesterday and last night and I stood up here and I'm giving you the 1 + 1, whose fault is it, yours or mine? It's mine. I wasn't prepared. Are we not supposed to prepare for tests? We need to be ready. And there's nothing wrong. I tell you, one of the best things, it's not that it's always easy, but one of the best things that I've had is a predetermined mind. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. Let me say it like this. If you've been recently transformed from maybe being lost and living a carnal life, and you're saved and you're living a spiritual life or wanting to, those old things have to stop. Or you're going to be spinning your wheels, I promise you. And then you'll be living very frustrated because the inward man is just holy and perfect that God has saved and the outward man is not. And you're going to have complete turmoil the entire time. Should I be looking at this? Should I be going to this place? Should I be buying this? Should I be doing that? If you have a predetermined mindset in the Lord says don't do that. You say, no. Well, that's a bad word today, isn't it? You're not supposed to say no. You're supposed to say, let's explore another option, right? No, no. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. We're not designed to flirt and play around with sin. We can't handle it. You say no, you stand on it, and you get away from it, and you think about something else, and you trust the Lord with it. You give it to Him. What they were doing here is they were comparing their spiritual leaders instead of spiritual truths. They were arguing who their pastor were. They're being very carnal. They're being very, very, very superficial. They're more interested in what they could say maybe by way of status versus by what they could say spiritually, the relationship that they had with God. I'll tell you this morning, the most important thing you can do is have a one-on-one relationship with Him. I'm not a priest. You don't come and confess to me. You confess straight to the high priest. I'm here to listen. And I'm here to help you any way I can, but you have to have a personal relationship with Him. I'm not a go-between. I'm just a little man helper. And I'm glad to help any way I can. But number three, and I'll close with this. We'll hurry on. Number three, the conqueror. 2:15. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now that's a big verse. We've all heard, judge not, lest thou be judged. We've heard those things, not supposed to judge your neighbor, not supposed to judge other people, but the Bible here is saying to judge all things. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now what does that mean? That means you have that time of evaluation. That means you have that time, that one-on-one time with God where you're not letting time pass and you're just kind of living for yourself, but you're saying, Lord, I want to live for you. Are you pleased with me? Am I doing what you would have me to do? I'd say it would be better for you to do that more often than not. You know, we have evaluation periods if you work, and a lot of times it's set up different maybe, but maybe once a year
you have an evaluation where you get together and you talk about what you did right, what you did wrong, what you could do better. What this is saying here is a spiritual man judgeth all things. He slows down and he does this often. He has this conversation with God often. Now, Lord, this is coming up. This is going on. This is going on in a friend's life. This is coming up in my life. So what do I need to do here? He's judging things. He's putting things on the scale. Brother Dale, he's saying, if I do this, what's going to happen? Is this fruitful or is this sinful? Is this right or is this wrong? See, the person who's carnal just kind of goes with the flow. They're the chameleons of the crowd. They just take on the look of whoever's around them. I mean, I've never seen the beat. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've seen conversations go from where we drink it tonight to this is how you get saved. Now you want to confuse somebody that's lost, you have that conversation. But a spiritual man, he slows down and says, well, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. This is how you get saved. They know things about God's word. They have the inner dwelling. They have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. There's a few things I wrote down about the conqueror. The spiritual man, he's not sanctimonious, he's not fake. Just having the appearance, there's substance beneath him. See, that's the thing I think about this, thing about being a pastor, and I've known this, and the thing about it is what you can get up here and do, you can make people laugh, you can make people cry, you can make people happy, you can make people mad. None of this right here matters if you're not trying to live it out there. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to swindle anybody into thinking that. But I'm just telling you, if you see me out there doing things that I'm not supposed to be doing, this right here is all for nothing. You see what I'm saying? If you want to be a conqueror, you have to be real. People have to see substance about you and I. Not superior. That's something I thought this was neat. I don't know where I got this outline from. I don't know if this is things that I wrote personally, but I think it's very well worth saying. He's not superior. He's not superior in brains, money, or strength. It's amazing when you look in the Bible, God didn't use people like that. He used people like us, just normal everyday people. So that's where the power comes from. If you get somebody that's known for all of this, that's why Hollywood trips and falls over their religion, but that's just fake. It's the people that are not known for anything. Jesus himself, he was not comely that if you looked upon him, you'd say, man, this is a handsome person. See, Jesus himself was not a showboat. He was humble. He was a servant leader. He was the one that was doing versus saying. He would live it out and act it out. He's not sensational. Not all about the trends and everything that's going on. You see that a lot today, trying to pull people in. Well, if we look like the world, maybe more of the world will come in. There has to be a change. He's not sugary sweet. He's not fake. I tell you, I appreciate people who just kind of tell me how it is. In society today, it's a lot different because I see a lot of people tiptoeing around things. I'm like, just say it. Just go ahead. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. You know, I mean, it's like going to the doctor and they're like, well, you're a little short for your weight. No, just go ahead and say it. I need to lose weight. Just go ahead and say it. I can handle it. You see, that's what we need more of in this world. But everybody's so touchy-feely that they can't handle the truth. Now, who would do that? Satan himself. He's the one who's fighting against truth. I like how this is written here. It says, not straight-laced. He's in the fight. And I appreciate that because a lot of times I see people riding the fence on things that they should not be riding the fence on whatsoever. We should be stubborn enough, I'll use that in a good way, stubborn enough just to do what the Lord is asking us to do. Not weighing out things that we shouldn't be weighing out. Well, if I do this and God wants me to do this, but it's going to make people mad. Lord, I don't know what to do. Be stubborn enough to do what's right. Just do it. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? The world be mad at you? That's okay as long as the Lord is pleased with you. Lord, are you pleased with me? See, that's the question.
He's not separated from society. He's in the field. I tell you, that's important.
That's one thing that has been a blessing to me and a help to me. Sometimes it's tiresome, sometimes it's hard. But working a job, working at the university, I feel like I'm out in the field. You know how many young people we see every single day? All of them, I think. It's what it feels like. I guess there's a little over 6,000 of them. But you know what a blessing that is? You get to hear every day what they're talking about, even if you don't understand it half the time. You get to hear what they're talking about. Sometimes if you build a rapport with them, they'll come to you and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. When I was at the PD, I had different people. I had a couch, the only couch in the office, and it was in my office at the time. I had students that I dealt with in the past come and talk. I just want to check in with you. You know what a blessing that is? Being out in the field. Being approachable. Being out there where people can actually talk to you. That's what he's saying here. That's what the conqueror's doing. He's out in the field. He wants to take part. He's not superficial. Not just staying on the surface. You know, it's easy. It'd be easy to act like everything's perfect up here and everything's perfect at home and everything's perfect at work and everything's like the perfect bubble is just around the... Let me tell you, it's far from it. I'm just a real live person too. Just like you. I mean, we're all the same. You see, that's the surface stuff. People want to put a lot of time in making this facade out that it's like this. No, we're all facing the same things. We're all facing the battles. I think probably the biggest difference between you and I is maybe I hear about more of the battles. And I desire your prayers. There's a lot of people that need help. And I want to help them. We all need to help them. He's not spineless. He's willing to take a stand. That's the biggie right there. Because I tell you, it's easy to be around a group of people that like you. You're like-minded. And you're cheering on the team, but just outside the doors, it's not like that. Be on the school board's taught me that. You can be loved today and hated tomorrow. But you know, God has not called us to be popular. He's called us to be Christians. He's called us to be like Him. And He's called us to be consistent. He wants us to stay in the fight, not give it up. It'd be easy to say, Lord, this is just, I'm done. I'm going to, just give me an F. Just go ahead and give me an F. I'm not getting it. But I tell you, when He comes along and He gives you that re-encouragement, like, no, I've got bigger things for you. I got a bigger plan for you than what you see right here, but we got to get through this test first. That's when He makes it real. I want to tell you this. The good thing about the teacher, my teacher, is he knows all the answers. And he has all the answers. And he says, if you'll stay with me, I'll take care of you. I'll get you through it. Some of these things are not going to be easy, but I'm going to get you through it. That's what my teacher says. Last thing here, he is spiritual. In harmony with God, he's simply controlled and motivated by the Holy Spirit. See, that's the difference between the corpse who has not accepted Christ, and you can. The difference between the conqueror and the crybaby. The crybaby, the carnal man, just always makes excuses. But the conqueror, he just grabs it by the horns, the bull by the horns, if you will. And just says, this is what God says, and that's what we're going to do. And that's as simple as it is hard. It takes faith to do that. You can be riding high on the mountain sometimes, and it seems like it's easy, Brother Nathan, to do that. And other times, it's a little bit harder. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit deeper. Sometimes you have to extend a little bit more faith. But I tell you, if you're going to be honest, I wouldn't use the word stubborn. I guess I'm just curious enough that I want to see what the Lord has next. For us as a church. For me and my family. For our community. I just want to see what He has. I want to know what He has for you. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll close there. I'll ask the ladies to come and we'll have a time of invitation.